In Ulus State Hospital in central Ankara, in private room 309, a young American woman lies unconscious. A laminated pain scale is taped to the antacid pink wall behind her. From smiley face iyim to gargoyle grimace chok kutu. But she's too far under to feel anything right now. There are no windows to let in the early afternoon light. Her chart says that she has suffered a head injury through blunt force, that her name is Penny, that she's 21 years old. Vulnerable as she looks right now, she could be a teenager. Her cheeks are freckled from 6 weeks in the Turkish sun, laced with red scrapes from shattered glass. The thick white gauze around her dark hair looks like a tasteless bridesmaid's headband, except for the blood seeping through. Somehow, the flimsy bracelet on her left wrist, a tiny blue evil eye bead on a thin red cord, survived the blast. Outside the door, two diplomatic security special agents stand watch in black plainclothes. The Department of State isn't taking any risks, not after last night. This middle-aged, practical-faced woman sitting in the chair beside the bed could be Penny's mother, but she's not. A mother wouldn't put on a crisp black pantsuit with an American flag pin to identify her daughter in the intensive care ward. As a matter of fact, Brenda has two children of her own. Shiny school photos in her wallet. The hospital isn't air-conditioned. Her pantsuit is making her sweat. Does Brenda feel a maternal twinge looking at her intern now? Is she remembering the last 6 weeks? Penny's pink-scrubbed face and secondhand blazers? Her straight-A student eagerness to please? The kid had been more useful than most summer interns, almost fluent in Turkish and a born translator, anthropology major. Too sensitive. Too soft. Wore braids once to work and looked like she was going to cry when Brenda told her to dress like a fucking adult. But Brenda isn't thinking any of this. She's typing a cable into her BlackBerry. Ankara, 925-311. Pelekia, number 009-253-1167. 50X1, HUM. 051145Z, JUL. FM. AM Embassy, Ankara, 2, Sec State, Wash, D.C., immediate, top secret, Ankara, subject, T.S., hospital visit to AMSET, Penny Kessler, classified by Pole Mill counselor Brenda Pelekia, reasons 1.4, B, C, D, G. Number 1, T.S., Penny Kessler, USDOS intern, POL section, Embassy, Ankara, remains in serious but stable condition at the Ulus Devlet Hastanesi. Ruzgarla, Jadasi, Gayret, Soka, number 6, Ulus, Ankara. She has been assessed with a head injury and is currently under sedation. Number 2, TS. Security camera evidence confirms that Kessler was standing in immediate proximity to suspect Davut Mehmetoglu and intelligence officer Zachary Robson in the embassy garden 20 seconds preceding the explosion. Number 3, T.S. Until Kessler regains consciousness, it is not possible to interrogate her regarding Mehmetoglu and possible accomplices. Number 4, T.S. At this time, Kessler is likewise unable to provide any statement regarding possible whereabouts of Zachary Robson. Brenda pauses. Interrogate sounds bad. She substitutes debrief, hits encrypt, then send. The doorknob turns and a wiry man steps inside, vibrating with energy. His suit still crumpled from the 11-hour flight. He has that ropey look, Brenda thinks, that lifelong desk potatoes get when they develop a sudden middle-aged mania for biking, as if Lycra and clip-in shoes can somehow help them outspeed time. His assistant, taller, much younger, clearly ex-military, trails behind, holding a briefcase. The wiry man sticks out his hand.
Brenda Pelekia? I'm Frank Lerman.
She knows exactly who he is. Everyone at State does. She can picture Secretary Winthrop at his Independence Day barbecue, Bermuda shorts and that plastic hair of his.
His aides interrupt to tell him about the bomb in Ankara.
Winthrop's first words, "Send Frank." Brenda imagines him adding, "I won't have another Benghazi on my hands," by which Winthrop would have meant the PR side, because 256 people are already dead, 312 injured, including Penny, and there's nothing even Frank Lerman can do about that. "I thought you'd be with the ambassador's widow," Brenda begins. Frank Lerman isn't listening. He's examining the sleeping girl.
"That's her, all right,"
he confirms to his assistant. Then to Brenda,
"Coma?"
"Just sedated." Brenda conceals her surprise with difficulty. "You know Penny?" Frank grins.
"Everyone knows Penny. Haven't you seen the papers?"
Brenda stiffens. "I've been at the hospital since the explosion." Frank turns to his assistant.
"Briefcase."
The tall young man hands it to him. Frank pulls out a thick stack of colorful newspapers.
"I had him buy one of each."
"You read Turkish?"
"I don't have to. Look."
The headlines vary from that of the sympathetic Hürriyet, apocalypse at the U.S. Embassy, to that of the ruling party mouthpiece, Sabah, revenge on imperialist America. Frank's got the international version of the Wall Street Journal as well. Every single one has the same photo. A young woman in a white party dress, stained with blood from her head, dragging a huge American flag out of the wreckage of the embassy 4th of July party. It's the kind of photo that wins awards and shows up on the cover of Time magazine, as this one will next week, and again on the 10th, 50th anniversaries of this tragedy. It's exquisite propaganda, almost too perfect to be true. 6 seconds after the lens shuttered, Penny collapsed. "Oh my God.
I've got 30 journalists downstairs waiting to talk to her,"
says Frank. "Obviously, that isn't possible."
"We need something to throw at them before someone does the math on Zachary Robson. Brave, tragic heroine, America will survive, blah, blah. We have to wake her up."
For the first time, Brenda feels almost protective of Penny, possessive at least. Penny is hers. Mr. Lerman.